Perfect. Okay. Fine. Fantastic. Okay. So, boys, we're now going to be starting this year. Obviously, over the past couple of weeks, we've been in a time which we've never really seen before. Everyone's been affected in some sort of way. I think a lot of us now know someone who's affected. And the truth is, we're all affected by it. And I'd like to discuss just for the next few minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. Some of the halachas that come about this year because of the changes. So we're going to be seeing how halacha adapts, and halacha always takes into consideration everything. We'll be seeing some interesting sugyas, some psakim, and explaining the reasons behind those psakim as well. So I would sort of describe this shir as we're explaining all the lamdas, the mechanics behind psakim, which come out from times like this. So the first discussion, which we're going to be talking about now, is like this. We're now in lockdown. We're now in a situation where we've been told very clearly by Boris Johnson, stay home. And that's actually our chiyuv. Once that's said by the government, it actually becomes dina da malchusa, and we've got to stay home as much as possible. Having said that now leads us into the following, not problem, but something, the following thing to take into consideration. A lot of people in a normal year will not sell what we call chametz gomor. They will not sell what we would call real chametz, bread, cake, all these sort of things, crackers, etc., etc. But in a year like this year, where we've been told for the next 3 weeks, we've got to stay home as much as possible, then it's probably the correct thing to sell chametz gomor. It could very well be the halacha would actually tell us, sell chametz gomor. Do whatever it takes so you don't have to go shopping again. Do whatever it takes so you don't have to go and suddenly go and buy more Weetabix on the day after Pesach. Imagine if everybody this year does not sell chametz gomor. What will happen is Tesco will be absolutely packed with Yidden after Pesach like it normally is. We need to avoid that. We need to avoid that. And therefore, it could very, very well be that this year, even if until now your minhag has been not to sell proper chametz, you would never sell certainly bread, maybe not even whiskey. It could very well be that this year that is what halacha mandates. Could very, very well be. What we're going to be discussing now is the following. The Shulchan Aruch in Reish Yud Dalet, in Yerideya Reish Yud Dalet, Sif Aleph, brings down the concept of Hataras Nedarim. And the Shulchan Aruch speaks out that when a person takes something on, a person starts doing a certain practice, and he's got in mind that that's what he wants to do, and he does it once, then if he wants to change, and he wants to do differently to that practice, he has to do something called Hataras Nedarim. So I remember actually the first time I was involved in Hataras Nedarim, it was about 8 years ago. There was a student who wanted to stop a certain habit which he got himself into doing. And it was a similar sort, it's not exactly the same scenario as what we're discussing now, but similar scenario. He wanted to stop a certain habit he was doing. And he made a deal with himself that he decided, if I ever do this again, I'm going to give £1,000 to tzedakah. And within 2 weeks, he'd done it. He'd messed up. And he gave £1,000 to tzedakah. Then the next week, he went and did it again. At this point, he realized, okay, I need to sort myself out. And it was fine. He went to the rabbi. He said to the rabbi, this is what I did. And he said, this is why I regret it. I did not realize how difficult it would be. And he got together three rabbonim. It was myself, weren't rabbonim, three people, three from people over the age of 13. And we said to him, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Without getting to exactly how it works, but the point is that from then on, he wasn't bound by that practice which he'd taken on. So let's discuss what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is in Reish Yud Dalet in Yerideya. And he says like this. He says, things which are permitted, and you know it's mutter, but you've decided you're going to be noyheg issa. You're going to practice as if that thing is forbidden to do. And you go ahead and you do it once. says the Shulchan Aruch, it's ke'ilu kiblu aleihem b'neida, and it's as if you've accepted upon yourself as a neida. And therefore, he gives some examples. And therefore, for example, the person who starts fasting around the time of the Yom Neroim, the Shulchan Aruch in Tovkuf Pe'alav, brings down all sorts of different practices about fasting around the time of Yom Neroim, before Hashana, during Rishayis Mitzvah. He says if a person fasts one of those fasts once, then the halacha is that if he wants to stop doing it, then he will have to. If he wants to stop doing it, then he will have to have Hataras and Torah. Okay. So it comes like this. If someone thinks that something's osa, and then because of that, he doesn't do it, you don't need to Torah Sadarim for that. So for example, if you've got a Hasidic Yid who his whole life, he's never eaten gebrokt. He's never dipped his matzah into soup. Why? Because that's not the best example. Okay, I'll give you a better example. Let's say there's a person who's becoming frum, and his first Pesach he ever ate was in a Hasidish person's house, and he noticed them eating matzah out of plastic bags. And he thought, it must be that it's also not to eat matzah out of plastic bags. And therefore, the next 5 years of his life, he always ate matzah out of plastic bags. And then one year, he goes to a litvak for a seder, or anyone who's not that concerned about eating matzah out of a plastic bag, and he sees everyone eating matzah normally. He says, what's going on? How are you talking? It's osa. And the balabas, very kind, explains to him, no, there's nothing wrong with it. There's something called a chumra, which some people have. And he says, I didn't realize. He will not have to eat matzah neida, because the reason why he, until that point, had eaten from a plastic bag is because he thought it was osa. Now he knows it's mutter. He's actually matzah neida for that. That's absolutely fine. When do you have to eat matzah neida? When you knew something was mutter, but you decided to be strict. That is where a person is in matinada. So let's discuss a little bit about Mechiras Chametz. Our question is like this. This year there's going to be many people, probably many members of my family included, who generally speaking do not try and sell Chametz Gamor, but this year they will be selling Chametz Gamor. And like I said, it's probably recommended to sell Chametz Gamor this year. So will you need to be matir neida? So before even delving into the sugya of what exactly is mechiras chametz, in order to try and work out if you have to be matir neida or not, if you do have to be matir neida this year, we're going to run into serious problems. Because to be matir neida, you need to get three dayanim sitting together. Boris won't allow that. We can't have three dayanim sitting together. Again, it could be it's osa to do. We're meant to have people staying home. So here's the shaila. Can you be matineda through Zoom? Baruch Hashem, we're now sitting together. How many of us here? There's 61 people here, Baruch Hashem, in a shir. I can see Vernon Levy. I can see Ian Lax. I can see Avi Stern. So let's say I want to be matineda now. Thank you all for waving. If I want to be Matir Neda for me now, I could just say to you, I could unmute you, and you could say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Would that work? So I'm not going to discuss that too much, but what I will discuss is a couple of shaylos regarding what you can do with Zoom, what you can't do with Zoom. First of all, just before you go further, I'd like to just thank, I don't know if it's here, but I'd like to thank Moshe Dov Whitler for setting me up on Zoom at the beginning of whenever it was last week. Baruch Hashem, thanks to you, there's been hundreds and hundreds of hours accumulatively of Torah which have been spread because of you. So it's big zechus, and thank you for that. So regarding Zoom, so I'll give you an example. One of the examples is where it's posher what the halacha is, or relatively posher what the halacha is. If I were to make a bracha now, if I had to make a bracha on my drink, it happens to be that I made the bracha beforehand. If I had to make a bracha on my drink now, every single one of you would be allowed to say amen. Now, why is that a chiddush? Because there's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Zayin. I've already discussed this in the Mishnah Berurah here, but I'm going to quickly mention it again. Here's the halacha. The bracha, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Zayin discusses the concept of amen yisema. That if a person answers amen, but he didn't hear the bracha, then it's called Amein Yisoma. It's considered an orphaned Amein. It's an Amein which isn't latching onto anything. Just like an orphan isn't latching onto a father, so to the Amein isn't latching onto anything. And the Gemara says terrible things about a person that makes an Amin Yisema. A person that makes an Amin Yisema, says the Gemara, his children will be Yisema, meaning that he'll die early. Which sounds very, very harsh. Now, what exactly that means, good question. But the point is, it's not a good thing to say Amin if you haven't heard the bracha. Yet I'm telling you, if I say a bracha on Zoom, you can say Amin. What's Peshat? The answer is, Tosfos there on the Mizayin Amud Aleph brings the following question. Tosfos there says, what do you mean? You're telling me that if you don't hear the Amin, don't hear the bracha, you can't say Amin. But we know that in Alexandria, and I think it's referring to Alexandria in Egypt, they used to have a massive, massive Beis HaMedrash. And the people at the back of the Beis HaMedrash were not able to hear the chazan saying the brachas. So how did they say Amin? So we're told that the way they said Amin was, is there used to be this person who used to wave a flag in order for people to say Amin. Fictosis. Very nice, he's waving a flag. But they haven't heard the bracha. So how can you say Amin? And for Tosfos, although they haven't heard the bracha, but they know that they're answering Amin to a bracha. Again, although they haven't heard the bracha, they know a bracha is being said, and they know they're answering Amin to a bracha. So it's Tosfos, that's fine. What the Gemara is talking about is just saying Amin out of the blue. If I make a bracha over here, sitting in my room in 14 East Mead, in Prestwich, and all of you are, let's say, half a mile away, you know for a fact I've made a bracha. And therefore, when you say Amen, you're saying Amen to a bracha, and that will be the same as the Chachma Alexandria. So therefore, that's fine. It gets more problematic. For example, you can't create a minion through Amen, through Zoom, right? If there's 10 of us all sitting separately in our rooms, we can't create a minion. We can't say Kaddish. We can't say Kedusha. Because for that, you need the physical coming together of 10 Yidden that we don't have. We don't have physical coming together. But do you know for a fact that I've made a bracha? Absolutely. And therefore, you can say Amen. Therefore, having a Beis Din through Zoom is not so posher. We talk about the Beis Din sitting together. It's not posher at all. You can have a Beis Din made over Zoom. So let's assume for the moment it will definitely at least be not posher to make a Beis Din over Zoom. And therefore, our question is, you normally do not sell Chametz Gamor, and this year you would like to sell Chametz Gamor in order to save people. Do you need to be matir in the Dorim? That's our Shaila. Okay. So let's discuss a little bit about the halachas of selling chametz. So where are the halachas of chametz, of selling chametz? So it's Mechaba in Tof Mem Ches. Mechaba in Tof Mem Ches makes it very, very clear that a person is allowed to sell chametz to a non-Jew. He says over there, you can yimko l'nochri with mechira gemura. As long as you do a proper mechira, it works. Therefore, it's very, very clear that it's permitted to do. You can sell even chametz gomor. There's not something which is dodging the slightest. And the Chasam Sofer says as well that everyone can rely on, everyone can sell it. And in fact, I think the official minig of Chabad is to sell chametz gomor dafka. They dafka go ahead and sell even bread. I remember Motzah Pesach going around to my cousin's house, the Skirders, and having cheese sandwiches very, very soon after Pesach. How exactly that works with the Beis Din's Mechira, good question. But Lemaisa, they would have bread very soon after Pesach. There's many people as well that make Havdalah Motzah Pesach on beer. But it's perfectly permitted to do a Mechiras Chametz. Okay, regarding Mechiras Chametz, the Mishnah Berurah goes through how exactly is it done, and he says you've got to do a bunch of different types of kinyonim, because it's not exactly clear how a goy can acquire something from a yid. You've got to go through a bunch of different kinyonim. If anyone wants to see, and I highly recommend, if anyone wants to see a brilliantly done Mechiras Chametz, Google Rabbi Zimmerman's Mechiras Chametz, or the Gates of Rav's Mechiras Chametz. That's when he was the Gates of Rav. Now he's the Rav of the Federation. So he's the Rav. He's like where the buck stops. And his Mechiras Chametz is phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's beautiful. It's about a 15-minute clip. And you can learn so much by watching it. Just to share a couple of things from what he says, because it's very, very interesting, number one. But number two, there's a lot of important halacha lemaaseh that comes out of it. Two things I'm going to share with you. Number one, like this. A lot of people, if they find in the house over Pesach chametz, what they'll do is is they will go to the toilet and they will flush it down. A standard thing what people do. Oh, find some comments. They'll get rid of it. It's whiskey. They'll pour it away. Here's the question. It's not yours. It belongs to a non-Jewish person. Who gave you a right to flush down the toilet something that doesn't belong to you? Well, what gives you the right to do that? I think it's a fantastic question. On the Mechiras comments of Rabbi Zimmern, you will see the answer. Again, not all Rabbanim do this, but this is what he does. He says to the guy, I'm sending you all this comments, etc., etc., etc. Again, watch it. And then he finishes up. He says, you should know something. There's some people that will take your comments on Pesach when they find it, and they'll throw it away. Do you give permission for them to do that with your chametz? Do you give them permission to go and throw away your whiskey? And the goy is hilarious. The particular video I'm talking about, it's a Geordie. And he's like, yeah, Rabbi. In fact, Rabbi Zimmern actually says to him at one point, he says, do you accept upon yourself all these things, even if you don't understand every single point? He's like, yeah. Anyway, so Rabbi Zimmern says to him, are you okay with the Jewish person who finds it throwing it away? And the guy says yes. So that's what gives you permission to get rid of the chametz on Pesach. That's number one. That's just interesting. What I'm going to say now, number two, though, is very important to know. We're going to discuss something which Rabbi Zimmerman says, and we'll see that from there comes out the halachas of medicine on Pesach. He also says to the goy, well, I'm saying everything to you now. Even chametz, which is contained within medicine, I'm sending it to you. Because, as we know, some medicine have chametz binding agents. And therefore, he says to the guy, I want to sell that stuff to you as well. Now, he says, even though I'm selling that stuff to you, but you should know something, someone might get in on Pesach, do you give them permission to eat it? Please give them permission to eat it. And the guy says, yes, I give them permission to eat it. And that's what gives you permission to eat the medicine on Pesach. Now, let me explain a little bit about the medicine on Pesach, just for a couple of minutes. Again, we go. This is a shaila, which, as you'll see, we're covering loads of different inyanim altogether, right? We're going to try and remain anchored within the Mechiras Chametz shaila. But as you can see, we've already discussed Zoom, and we're now discussing Refuah on Pesach. The Mechaber says in Tof Mem Base 442. Mechaber says in Tof Mem Base that chametz, which is that if you've got stuff which is mixed with chametz, and it's not considered to be food for man. So again, food, it's stuff which is mixed with chametz, which is not considered food for man. Says the Mechaber, you're allowed to have that in your house over Pesach. But he says, don't eat it. Mechaber is in Tof Mem Base Sif Dalet. Don't eat it. You're allowed to have it in your house over Pesach, but don't eat it. Which obviously leads us to the following question. We know that the two main issurim of a Pesach are the issa of eating it and the issa of owning it. And both of them are referring to the issa of chametz. You're not allowed to own chametz and you're not allowed to eat chametz. This is the question. If you are allowed to own it over Pesach, then why are you not allowed to eat it? Make up your mind. Is this stuff which has got chametz in it, which isn't really edible, is it chametz? Is it not chametz? The answer is like this. We don't consider it chametz. But says the Mishnah Berurah there, if you eat it, then something called achshavei takes effect. Achshavei means that what you've now done is you've taken something, you've said, for me it's a food. For me it's a food. Meaning, until you eat it, it's not food. But if you're going to eat it, then how can we say it's not food? The whole reason we say it's not considered chametz is because it's not food. But you're eating it. That's called achshavei. You've been machshavei. You've given it chashivas. So again, that's regarding food stuff, or not food stuff, stuff which has got chametz in it, which is not really edible. You can have it in your house, but once you eat it, then there's a problem of achshavei. Now the question is, what is the din regarding medicine? Because medicine, l'chari, is exactly that. Let's talk about what we would call a non-taste medicine. A medicine which has got no taste whatsoever. Your standard paracetamol. It's got no taste whatsoever. Do we have to be worried that there may be chametz binding ingredients in there? So let's say we know for a fact that you've got this paracetamol. Again, I've got no idea about paracetamol, if it's got any chametz in it. But let's just say it's got chametz in it. If your paracetamol's got chametz in it, can you keep it over Pesach? No question you can, because it's not a food. It's got no taste. Are you allowed to take it over Pesach? So it's machlokes achronim, whether eating something for the sake of refuah, which is not really edible, it's a question whether that's achshavei, whether that makes into chametz or not. The machmir is the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh says it's a problem of achshavei. You're putting it in your mouth, eating it, and therefore it's chametz. And therefore he holds you've got to have kosher Pesach medicine. However, the Ksav Sofer is Mikl. You just put yourself on mute. And the Ksav Sofer is Mikl. So again, Machlokes, Shagas Aryeh is Machmir, Ksav Sofer is Mikl. What's the Halacha L'Maisa? So the Halacha L'Maisa is like this. Ramoisha Feinstein, as well as the Minchas Shloima, they both pass like the Ksav Sofer, that there's no Achshavei on medicine. And the Chazon Ish adds something else on as well. The Chazon Ish says, he says, even according to the Shagas Aryeh, who says that medicine, even if it's got no flavor at all, and therefore it's not considered food, even according to Shagas Aryeh, who says that there's a problem with achshavei with medicine, that's only when the medicinal properties in the medicine, the therapeutic properties in the medicine, are chametz. Whereas, for example, with paracetamol, if there is going to be any chametz in there, it's not providing the medicine, it's not providing the therapy that you want. All it's providing is a binding agent. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, even the Shagas Aryeh would agree that all of our medicines, which are non-flavor, are perfectly permitted on Pesach. Therefore, any non-flavored medicine on Pesach is absolutely fine. You can buy any paracetamol from any shop and you can have it. However, if it's got flavor, if it tastes good, that's when you're running into problems. That's when you're running into problems. However, having said that, and I asked this, spoke to Rabbi Zimmern last night about this, and he confirmed it, made it very, very clear. Any medicine, even if it's got a flavor, you can give it to someone who's under bar mitzvah. Without going into the whole sugya, basically, there's a Chok Yaakov who says that any issa achila, which is only temporary, I'll repeat that again, any issa achila that's only temporary, for example, Yom Kippur. Another example is not eating before Kiddush. It's an issa achila which is temporary. That there is no, that we allow children to eat on. And therefore, regarding medicine on Pesach for a child under bar mitzvah, even if it's got a taste, one will be allowed to give it to their child. And therefore, that's the idea of saying to the goy when selling the chametz, saying to him, although you own it, I want you to give me permission to allow me to feed it to a child if need be. Okay, so let's remind ourselves where we're up to, and then we'll try and answer the shayla. Okay, so we've got a question like this. Mechiras Chametz this year presents us with a challenge, because Mechiras Chametz this year, people should be relying on even sending Chametz Gomel in order not to have to shop more than they need to. And therefore the question is, do you need Hataris Nadarim? So, let's go through one more stage, and then Be'ez Hashem will be able to answer this question. Here's the last stage. The Mechaba Paskins, as we just mentioned, in Reish Yud Dalet, that if a person takes on this new practice, he realizes something's mutar, he wants to be machmir, right? Which is mamash the same as people regarding Mechiras Chametz. We know it's mutar, but we prefer not to. We prefer not to sell Chametz Gomel. So you know it's mutar, and you know Yegesa. You need Hataras Nedarim. Now, here's the thing. The Ramah in Tof Kuf Samach, I'm trying to find in my notes where it is. I think it's Tof Kuf Samach Tes. Tof Kuf Samach Ches. Says the following, regarding the Tanisim of Bahab, he says like this. He says there's some people that have Tanisim on the Monday, Thursday, and Monday shortly after Pesach and Sukkot. Don't worry too much about those halachas for the moment. But there's Tanisim in those times. He says those people that take them on and do it regularly, the Ramah says If there's a bris, then you don't need to fast. That's what the Ramah says. If there's a bris, you don't need to fast. Now, the Ramah does not say there anything about if you've got a bris, there needs to be matir neda. Again, we're talking about fasts, which is similar to what the Mechab was talking about, Reish Yudalad, fasts. And the Ramah says, if you've got a bris, then you're allowed to break it. It's not a problem. You've got a sudi, you can break your fast. Ask the Shach. The Shach now is in Simen Reish Yudalad. Ask the Shach. It seems that the Ramah is Chalik and Mechaba. Mechaba seems to say, you need to be matir neda in order to stop one of these fasts. Whereas the Ramah seems to say, again, from the case of Brisim, that you do not need to be matir neda in order to go ahead and eat. So it seems to be Mechalikus Mechaba Ramah. Yet, asks the Shach, in Reish Yud Dalet, in Yerudea, the Ramah doesn't say anything. The Mechaba speaks out very clearly, you need to be matir neda if you want to eat one of these fasts, and the Ramah says nothing. So, the Shach has his own answer. What the Shach answers is, which is probably what a lot of people are thinking, he says, yeah, the Shach says that the whole type of Tanis of Bahab, or the Tanis around Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they were never taken on for a day when a person's got this sort of simcha like a bris. That's what the Shach answers. However, the Dogel Merivava says a different pshat. And it's based on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, in Tov Kuf Pei Aleph is where the halachas of the Tanaisim regarding the Yom Lirayim is discussed in Erech Chaim. So in Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, the Magen Avraham says, even if you're just feeling a little bit ill, says the Magen Avraham, you don't have to fast on one of these fasts. He quotes that Magen Avraham. Asks the Dogel Merivava, it seems that the Magen Avraham holds, it's nothing to do with the bris. It seems to be the dogma of Baba holds. If you want to break one of these fasts because you're feeling a bit ill, you can break it. And you don't need to matter in the dorm. Why not? Listen to what the dogma of Baba says, because it's absolutely massive for this year. The dogma of Baba says a massive yesod. He says, why is it in that in Reish Yud Dalet regarding Tanesim, when the Mechaber says, if you make a neda and you want to break it, you need to matter neda? Why does Ramah not say anything there? Says the Dogma of Ramah, because the Ramah agrees to the Mechaba that if you want to stop a neder full stop and you never want to keep that neder again, for example, you're fasting until now, but you say, you know, forget it, I can't bother fasting anymore. I'm not a faster around the time of Yom Kippur. There, he says, the Ramah and the Mechaba will both agree they need to matter neder. However, where the Ramah says, and where the Magen Avraham says, you do not need to matir neda, that's regarding a bris, or a person a little bit ill. All of these scenarios, says the Dogma of Vava, are scenarios where it's only for this time. For this time, you're not going to fast. But you're not giving up on your neda. You're still sticking with that original conviction of, yes, I am now going to fast. It happens to be this year, I'm a bit ill. This year, there's a bris. In that situation, you don't have to be matir neda because you're not stopping your neda. You just happen to be in a situation of onus this year. And therefore, what comes out, Rabbi, so based on the dogma of Avah, it comes out the following. If you've made a neda, then if you don't want to ever fulfill your neda again, you need to be matir neda. If you want to fulfill your neda again, it happens to be that you're in a state of onus, in a state of shas dechak, where it doesn't make sense. It's incorrect for you to be doing your neda this year. You don't need to be matir neda. And therefore, that's exactly the situation this year. The situation this year is where there's many, many people who cross Klal Yisrael who do a worthy chumrah of not selling chametz gomor. Normally, they try and get rid of every single bit of chametz gomor in the house. And they've done it for years and years and years and years. And let's call it a neda. They'll have the status of a neda. But this year, they want to sell chametz gomor. It's fine. You don't need to matir neda. Because next year, B'mitz Hashem, this will be over. And then you'll be able to go back to your neder. So you don't need to be matir neder. You're still in the neder. Happens to be that you, for this year, you're doing what's correct because of a different reason. That's what Dr. Robert said. So let's just summarize some of those halachos we said. Maybe we'll try and... Can people still hear me? Is it clear? Good. I was just reading the chat, but I just realized it's from half an hour ago, the chat. Okay. Let's just try to summarize what we've said. So our main question and answer in a nutshell, again, as I said, what we're doing now is we're discussing Lombus. In a nutshell, what the answer to the original question was is, this year, if a person is sending Chametz Gomor, which again is probably the right thing to do, do they need to be Matir Neder? The answer is no. Any practices which until now you've done, which you're not doing this year, go ahead, do it. It's the correct thing. Normally you don't use your oven from all year round. Normally you use a different oven. Good, do that next year. But this year's different. This year we've got to stay home. You don't need to matinee that. Same thing regarding Chametz Gomor. That's one thing we discussed. We also discussed the inyanim about Zoom, about saying Amen from a different place, and we discussed the riots from Chacham Alexandria. We also discussed the halachas of Mechiras, Chametz, and Pesach, notably regarding medicine, that anything non-tasting does not need a heksha, anything tasting should have a heksha, but for kids, no questions. Any kid under 13, you can give them any medicine whatsoever. I just want to discuss, let's just spend another few minutes. We'll go until 5:02. Anyone wants to go, Vakashai can go. I won't even notice. In fact, just do two things. I'll tell you the most nifty way to do it. If you've got a video, first I'll turn off the video, and then you'll go off my screen. And then when you leave, I won't notice. So it's not actually that embarrassing. Let's just spend another 8 minutes or so on just one more Shaila. Another Shaila which has come up many, many times, and Baruch Hashem, the Federation have now come up with a fantastic answer, is the following. A lot of people, especially young people, they've never made Pesach before. So they've got all these kelim which they got for the chasana, which they've been set aside for Pesach, but they've never actually tovled the kelim. And now it's Pesach's coming, and I've got no way of being tovling the kelim. So what are you supposed to do? So I'm going to go through the sugya, then I'll tell you what the Federation's eitza is. But the sugya is just a very interesting sugya. Let's go through it quickly. Okay, so obviously the ideal is a person is supposed to do tefilas kelim, which means you go to the kelim mikveh and you dip it in. Tefilas kelim, unfortunately, is an area which people don't realize how severe it is. Pashtus is deraisa. Pashtus, it's a Torah law. I've had people asking me in the past, I'm going to my uncle's who's not from, can I eat the food? And very often, a person goes to their uncle's that's not from, most of the time, the food's kosher. The food's going to be kosher. What are they cooking for you in Ganson? Let's talk about pasta and cheese. Pasta and cheese. Pasta is kosher. Cheese, very often people, I'm not talking about everyone, but I've had people that ask me this question that they eat chalav stam. So having cheese is chalav stam. Ketchup's kosher. Salt's kosher. The pot, stam kinim in ben yomim. That means it hasn't been used for, you can assume it hasn't been used past 24 hours. You're not making it, so it's probably going to be okay to eat. But to me, that's kelim. Meaning, your standard traditional Jew will have milk and meat, right? I know many people that aren't Shomer Shabbos, but they only buy Manchester-based meat. In fact, my parents' neighbors, going back before I was born, they would not buy MH meat. They'd only buy Manchester-based meat, but they weren't Shomer Shabbos. These were Shomer Shabbos people that wouldn't, they were so machmir, but they wouldn't eat MH meat, right? See, regarding meat, generally speaking, traditional people are machmir, but Tefilas Kelim, people don't know. Okay, so Tefilas Kelim is a very humble subject. So you're supposed to go to a Kelim Mikveh. Now, the question is like this. What happens if you're stuck? So the Mechaber in, I think it's Kuf Chof. Pretty certain it's Kuf Chof. He discusses the following Shas Tachak. Let's say it's Shabbos. Now on Shabbos, you're stuck with Kalim. The only Kalim you've got are Kalim that require Tevila. And you can't Tovel on Shabbos. So what are you supposed to do? So the Mechaber comes up with an Eitza. And this is very, very Negera, Boisai. Very, very Negera. You'll see in a minute why it's so Negera. Mechaber says the Eitza. He says you can't Tovel it. But do you know what you should do? He says give it to a non-Jewish person. Be makne it to a Goy. Once the Goy owns it, there's no Chiv Tevila. And then you say to the guy the following. He said, I'm going to give you this keli as a gift. You're going to pick it up, you're going to own it. And then I'd like you to lend it to me until further notice. You do that, the guy owns it, you can borrow it, Bob's your uncle. And you're allowed to now use it. No, it's used whatsoever. And in fact, this can be used in many scenarios nowadays. I was always very Macbid, and I'm still Macbid, to Tovel Avi Keely. And then about 2 years ago, I received a message from my mother-in-law asking me about a soup maker. And I said, it's very simple. I said, dip it in the Keely mikveh, leave it for about 3 days, don't touch it, make sure it gets fully dried, and then use it. Problem is, she calls me up 2 weeks later, and it's broken. As my mother-in-law. So I was a little bit worried. The only thing is, I've done the same thing with my own soup maker, and mine also broke. It was at this point we realized that we've got a problem. That the solution is, you do the same thing that Mechaber suggests. If you buy a Keli with a digital display on, I'm not talking about something which is electric, like a toaster. A toaster's fine. It'll be no problem. The kettle's fine. I'm talking about something with digital display, smart stuff. What you do is, you sell it to the guy, and that's what we did. Went to our cleaner, and I said to her the following. I gave her £5, and I said to her like this. I said, what we're going to do now is, you now own £5. I'm giving this to you as a present, not £5. You give me the £5, and you're going to buy this cooker from me. You're going to buy this soup maker. I then gave it to her. She gave me the £5, picked it up, and then she lent it to me until further notice. Now, it happens to be the Taz says over there that you can only do this for 30 days. This is only a temporary solution. But Lemaisa, he's saying it's a temporary solution for where there's a solution eventually, right? For example, Shabbos. You can't tell over the kingdom on Shabbos, so he says, make sure that you sort it out within 30 days. But in our situations over here, where there is no solution ever, then we always remain in that 30 days. And then, but that's what you can do regarding Tfilis Kelim, regarding stuff with digital displays that's going to break. It's exactly the same thing now with this year. This year, if a person can't get out, for example, a person's in isolation, if a person's not in isolation, you can get to Tfilas Kelim, why not? But if a person's either worried because he's scared that he might contract something, he might give off something there, or a person's in strict isolation, then what they should be doing is sending it to a goy. How can you send it to a goy? So, what the Federation have done is they've put together a very clever scheme, which is very similar to Mechiras Chometz. But what you do is you give them power of attorney to sell your kelim for you. You go to the Federation website, and you fill out the form, and every day for the next couple of weeks, they will be doing a mass sale of kelim to a non-Jewish person. And that's the way to get around the problem of Tevilas Kelim this year. What they're going to do is after Mitz Shem, once this Magif has moved on, Be'ez Hashem, it should be very, very soon, then what they'll do is they'll notify you that it's now bought back from the Goy. At that point, you then go and tovel it, and you do everything as you're supposed to do. Okay, Chavis, so again, what we discussed is, we discussed the halachas of Mechiras Chometz, we discussed the halachas of Hataras Nedarim, we discussed the halachas of Zoom, we've got to discuss the halachas of medicines on Pesach and the halachas of Achshavei. I've also discussed the halachas of Tfilas Kelim. Beit Hashem, in these troubling times, you should continue to be involved in Avodas Hashem. And again, Baruch Hashem, thanks to Moshe Dov, and thanks to using technology in a constructive way, in a way that the Eibishter wants to see, then Baruch Hashem is a fantastic thing. Someone was actually saying to me yesterday, he said, do you think it's correct to say that Hashem made technology for the time like this? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm not Hashem. I said, what I do know is that Hashem knows everything. And that means that, obviously, the Eibishter who brought along this Magifa, and the Eibishter who allowed technology to be developed, was aware that this was going to happen. So that's certainly true. And Baruch Hashem, this is the correct use of technology. Someone actually said, asked me, I'm not a mussar giver. I'm not at all giving mussar. I'm just going to repeat what someone asked me. Someone asked me if I could mention the fact that it's not good to use phones during tefillah, which isn't actually applicable. Not as in he was talking about in shul. Again, all I can say is that's definitely a valid point. But I want to focus on the positive of what we're doing now instead of shrying about not doing that in tefillah, which of course is terrible. It's terrible. But I want to try and focus on the positive that what we're doing now is using it for the positive. We're using technology in the right way. And Be'ez Hashem, let's focus on the Asi Toiv. Let's focus on doing things right and let's focus on bringing in light. Let's focus on making strides forward. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll be zeicha to benissen asidin legoil. A great shkoyach, and I've got another Mishnah Berurah share starting at 9:15. Be'ez Hashem, there's lots of learning still to be done. I wish you all a kosher Pesach.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thanks, Kaz.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can the mechira be done on Skype as well? On Zoom, thing the rabbonim.
Hello, Maya. How are you?
Good.
Can a mechira be done? Mechira should be done with a shtar mechira. It can be done online. The Federation one can be done online. Manchester based in one. Download the copy. You send it into them.
Rav Shaya?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. With Mechiras Chametz, I'm right in saying you need to label, make it clear what's sold, correct?
You should do, yeah.
Obviously, it's a case with me, it might be a case with many people who suddenly just left the office on a random day, not returned, have Chametz in the office, and it's just out, so when you're drawn,
yeah,
not labeled.
That's fine. You're right, just write it on the form.
Even though it's not clearly labeled, yeah, in the office.
That's fine.
Thank you.
So Rav Shach, I lost my internet connection when you were talking about the Shaila of Tovah Kalim. If you've got and you can't get to Mikvah, what's the answer?
Okay, if you've got internet access, go to the Federation website and they will sort it out for you. If you don't have internet access and you have Goy access, then you do the following. You get, as in, you've got a non-Jew you can call up. You get a non-Jew to buy it off you with a bank transfer. And
right.
Then you buy it back off him. But the best data is to use the Federation website.
Right, and then afterwards, do you need to, when you can toivel it, you need to toivel it afterwards?
Yeah. They'll let us know.
Right. You just see it's a stopgap measure till
yeah.
till it's successful. Okay, shkach.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Shkach.
Any other questions?
Yeah, is there a problem with a time lapse on Zoom for an Amen?
There potentially would be. I've seen some posting that say that up to a 2-second time lapse is a problem. But Lamaisa, we can see clearly that, you know, you asked a question straight away, I was able to answer. That at least on most, they're working well, there isn't a time lapse. As Ari Mishrok and Ari, have you done any Zoom meetings at all? Ari Kramer? You've had Zoom meetings? Yeah, it's brilliant.
You know, I'm just asking Zoom. If there is.
If there is more than 2 seconds, you shouldn't tell me.
Okay,
fine. So I've got a question.
Yeah.
As a bachor.
As a what?
As a bachor on Erev Pesach.
Oh, I didn't mention it, sorry, yes. Rav Shlomo Zalman says very clearly, it's alluded to in Anicha Shlomo and it's written elsewhere explicitly. B'shas d'chak, a phone can be used, the level Zoom should be used this year. I was discussing it with the Rav earlier on. I think the Rav's going to be making your Siyam, the Bracha Siyam, for the Kehillah. I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. I should have mentioned it. He'll be mentioning it next week. But yes, that is the correct thing to do this year.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, last call for questions. Okay, Chabrak, Ritzishkoch, Kultov.